Yosemite is known as the Mecca of world rock climbing. And the crown jewel of this Mecca is El Capitan. It's just this iconic 3,000-foot high monolith. When you see that thing for the first time, I mean, it takes your breath away. And the steepest, blankest, sort of most forlorn, impressive part of El Cap is the Don Wall. People have done a handful of free climbs up El Cap to the right and to the left. But the Don Wall has never been climbed. Just the sheer magnitude of blank rock on the thing. I mean, it just looks impossible.
And there are some things in life that do seem, look, feel impossible. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the series that we're embarking on around faith, and so I thought I'd begin by just framing a little bit about what faith is. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift that God works in a human being who hears the gospel that they are reconciled by Jesus Christ to God through the forgiveness of sins that he won on the cross for them. And so when faith hears, it believes, and this is the work of God in us. And as faith hears and believes, faith begins to see and to move through life and to see things and move toward things that to the world seem impossible. But faith knows that with God, all things are possible. This gift of faith is a personal possession. I can't have faith for you. You can't have faith for me. It's got to be my faith. It's got to be your faith. So faith is this gift that receives the work of another, but once it's received, faith begins to move. Paul puts it like this from that first reading. But one thing I do in this life of faith, forgetting what lies behind, listen to the words, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of that upward call of God that came to me in the gospel of Christ Jesus. Will you note those words? Faith exerts, it strains forward. Faith aspires, it is going for a goal that leads you upward. Faith presses on against all kinds of restraints and obstacles and the like. This is what Paul says faith is like. Faith is like a muscle. Oh, we've all experienced weak faith. The way to have strong faith is to use it. It's not unlike physical muscles. It's not unlike being in a rehab facility after a terrible break or whatever. And they work the muscle and it becomes stronger again. As such, because faith is on the move, because it strains, because it leads upward, because it presses on, your faith and my faith, our personal possession, this gift from God, is meant to be a journey. It's meant to be a trek. We're on the move. We're going somewhere with God and toward the goal that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. But as I said, as we climb higher and higher and higher with God, as we start to know God by faith, as we start to see things the way God sees them, we encounter in this life obstacles, pressures, setbacks in the climb. And these can be caused by our own weakness. They can come upon us from the world. We even have an enemy who does not want us to reach the summit of God's goal for our lives, Satan himself. It's interesting to me that when God gives this upward call, he often calls biblical characters to the mountain. He called Abraham that way, Moses, Elijah. He even called his own son to climb a mountain for us. This film that I'm using today, called The Dawn Wall, is an excellent analogy about a faith that climbs. And today, a faith that climbs through pressures and problems and adversities. And it gives us the reason why we climb. Take a look.
The Dawn Wall itself is 3,000 feet tall. The route that they think they have figured out is comprised of 32 individual pitches. Each pitch is its own challenge, like the stages of a race.
Can you think of your life as that climb of faith with different stages called pitches? And some of these movements through your life are just simply wonderful. They're splendid. They're beautiful. They're invigorating. But then you hit a pitch or a season in your life as you're climbing upward in faith, and all of a sudden, the wheels seem to come off. Now faith is difficult. Now the things you face are scary. Now you're discouraged and you just kind of want to give up. Faith climbs this mountain called life with all of its beauty, but all of its adversity as well. We climb for a reason. Now, I want to make this really clear at the outset. It is Jesus Christ who has saved us. You are not saved by your climbing. Our climbing doesn't save us, but it is a necessary expression of faith. It's a natural expression of faith. The one who saved us calls us in that upward call to follow him. He says, follow me. And that which seems impossible to you, that you will have a connection with God, not only in this life, but for eternity, forever and ever, this God gives us that call. And faith has to exert itself. It's just not enough for us to assent to that which is spoken in truth about Jesus Christ and say, yes, I believe. Faith always turns yes, I believe into yes, now I follow. And that little muscle of faith, as we follow in that upward call, it gets stronger and stronger. But faith has to meet some pretty dire circumstances as well. And that's our focus today. Movie I'm using, I'll just give you a quick synopsis. It's about a free climbing guy named Tommy Caldwell. And in 2015, he and Kevin Jurgensen captivated the world in their effort to climb the Dawn Wall. It had never been done before in free climbing. It seems impossible, 3,000 feet, and it's just nothing there. For weeks, they lived on the side of that. They camped out on the side of the Dawn Wall as they slowly moved up from pitch to pitch. I think that the Dawn Wall for Tommy Caldwell represented something about his life. And about the adversities and the situations that he faced. And I think it led Tommy Caldwell into experiencing something that was bigger than just the victory of him reaching the summit of the Dawn Wall. The Dawn Wall is that movie, I think, that can really illustrate for us and inspire us to keep climbing in faith. Through adversity and not give up, because we know what is the goal of our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's meet Tommy. He's just the average guy, grew up in a wonderful family. You meet his parents in the movie, and at a very young age, his dad introduced him to rock climbing. And Tommy, from a little boy, was used to being on the side of faces of granite and actually staying overnight with his dad on the cliff. And I guess you just kind of get used to it. Well, he got used to it, and he became very exceptional in getting used to it. And as a teenager, he once entered, as an amateur, a professional rock climbing competition. And he smoked the professionals. And because of that, at a very early age, Tommy Caldwell became well known in an industry and sport that I had no knowledge of up until this movie, how big it was. This free climbing and bouldering and the like that goes with it. Well, because of his notoriety, and now he's in competitions and invitations are extended, he's traveling the world, climbing in some of the most beautiful, rugged places. One is Kyrgyzstan and the mountains thereof. And so three buddies and Tommy are climbing up the face of a rock in Kyrgyzstan when all of a sudden bullets ricochet around them. Rebel Kyrgyz forces order them down and take them captive. They survive a firefight with the Kyrgyzstan National Army. And they're on the move with these four. Two split off the captors. And now there's two and the four of them. And then another one splits off to find food because they have no food. And as they're with this one captor, their hope is diminishing that they're ever going to survive this ordeal. And Tommy makes a decision.
And I decided that this was what I had to do. I had to go and I needed to push this guy off this cliff in order to save our lives.
Tommy came over to me at this point and he said, you know, do you think I should do this? I was thinking, yes, no, yes, no. So I just didn't say anything.
I took that as that she would be okay with it. So I just ran up behind him and I put one hand on his back and grabbed his gun strap and my other hand went on his chest and I just gave a push to send him flying off this cliff. We saw him hit a ledge, bounce off of it, and just fall out of sight into the darkness.
Tommy completely broke down, had his head in his arms, and he was crying.
I couldn't believe what I had just done. I just killed somebody. The whole world came crashing down on me all at once.
You know, we were all trying to reassure him and say that, you know, you're not a bad person. You've just saved our lives.
They really tried to comfort me, but there was a sense of urgency that we better get going because we didn't know if the other captor was going to show up.
We knew from hiking in earlier where there was a military outpost that we could try and run to.
So even on almost no food for 6 days, adrenaline kicked in.
So we ran for 4 hours through the darkness down this valley.
We were greeted by this man yelling at us with this gun.
Throw up our hands, start yelling that we're Americans.
And luckily it was the Kyrgyz Army.
This huge wave of relief came over us. I mean, this horrible situation that we had been in was over.
They gave us food, water, military fatigues, and then we got helicoptered out from there.
In New York. Here is Jane Pauley.
Four young Americans face a life or death choice with the ultimate question, to kill or be killed.
When we got home, there was this crazy media circus.
You guys are walking with this captor on a very rocky cliff. Tell me what you did, Tommy.
We just ended up pushing the guy.
You pushed him over the cliff?
Yeah.
What happened at that moment when you realized, I've actually done this? I've killed somebody.
You know, I thought that I was an evil person. I said to Beth, I was like, how can you love me after I did something like this? And,
after Kyrgyzstan, Tommy had tremendous personality changes, speaking so softly.
I was like, what is inside me that allowed me to do this?
I'm just an entirely different person.
You know, this is a sports movie. It's a sports movie. I thought, okay, it's about a sport. I'm going to learn something about the sport. It goes way past sports. I think it gets as deep as it can get. It brings brings Tali, brings all of us to that very fundamental question about our existence. It's an existential thing. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, who am I really? What's inside of me? Am I really what I should be? Am I okay? Am I good? Am I right? We all have a tendency to want to justify ourselves or to have somebody else justify us. To say, hey, you're a good person, you're okay, just be at peace with yourself. Everyone was calling Tommy a hero, except Tommy. He said, what's inside of me that allowed me to do this? Everyone around Tommy justifies Tommy. You did what you had to do, Tommy. Except Tommy couldn't do it. He said, I thought I was an evil person. How could Beth, how could you love me? How can I love myself? Sooner or later, I would suggest that every one of us wrestles with the same kind of issue in life. We have a feeling that I'm not quite the person I was meant to be. And you don't have to have a big black mark. You don't have to kill somebody. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to blatantly steal or something like that. You don't have to have a big black mark in your life in order to want to feel justified. So every person faces this thing called guilt. Guilt's different than shame. Shame is when I do something wrong, my conscience or the law tells me, and I feel ashamed. But guilt goes much deeper. Guilt's this sense that I'm not right. I know I'm not right. Why am I like I am? And so we try to deal with it. We try to justify ourselves. How do we do it in America? We compare ourselves to other people. We go in self-improvement plans to lift ourselves up. We open up our success portfolio and read it to ourselves. We never admit we're wrong. Oh, no. But our favorite way? We judge others in order to justify ourselves. But here's the deal. Even when Tommy's friends and family and the whole world said, Tommy, you're cool, you're okay, you just did what you had to do, Tommy, like us, found out that everybody else's words could not reach the place in his soul that needed to be reached. The Bible spends a lot of time dealing with this feeling of guilt. And here's what it says. Faith knows how to climb past your past. One of the best scriptures on this is from Romans chapter 5. It says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. And look at these words. And now God declares us flawless in His eyes. God says it. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. You see, this is faith. Listening to what God says and letting it get to the deepest place of our soul and saying, I'm at peace with God. God has done for me what has brought this peace, and now I'm at peace with myself. It's powerful because God says it. Because God says it, it can move us past our past and we can keep on climbing. It was so interesting to me as I watched this movie, how this is a sports movie, and all of a sudden it swerves into the thing that most is needed in a human being's life. God's declaration. And by the way, you wonder, why do we do an absolution and a confession in the service? It's precisely because all of us need to hear again and again and again, I love you this much. I want you as my own. I've taken away your sin. Be at peace. Don't you love it? I love it. Faith not only climbs dealing with inside adversity, it also climbs dealing with outside adversity.
About a year after Kyrgyzstan, we were remodeling this like tiny little cabin. And Tommy was using his parents' old table saw.
Tommy did something that he should never do, which is he tried to pull a small piece of wood through the table saw. If the blade catches on the wood, it sucks your hand right back into the blade.
I remember the first time he tried to climb.
Good, Tommy.
He was like, whoa. You know, wow, it's going to be hard.
Good job, sweetie.
When I heard he cut his finger off, I go, well, you know, so much for Tommy Caldwell. The grip in climbing is you wrap your thumb over your finger like that and pull down on the little edges. And if there's no finger there, the physics are all wrong.
I don't know about that.
Everybody around me, except for Beth, and my parents looked at me and they're like, he's done. That's so sad. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but ever since Kyrgyzstan, I just have this fire in me that is different than anything I've had before.
He had all these little jars of rice and beans and gravel. You know, he's supposed to jam that nub of a finger in there.
I just abused the thing to retrain the nerves, to toughen them up.
He cuts off his finger. Oh, no big deal. I'll just get better after that.
I have no idea how that's possible.
That's when Tommy took his game to the biggest stage on earth, which is El Cap.
At that time, there were only a few free climbs that went up El Cap.
Some of the hardest big wall climbs ever done. Just to climb one of these routes would have been a monumental achievement for the best climbers in the world. And then Tommy walks into the valley, missing a finger, and just started knocking them down one after the other.
Wow. It's just an aside, Dieter and Dick, never let me get near your table saw. Okay. Just want to make sure. Because here's the deal. In a blink of an eye, in a blink of an eye, adversity can change the whole scope of your life. It can. An accident can happen. An illness can beset you. There can be a workplace reduction. A pipe can burst in your home. A tick can bite you on the neck. You fall. You trip. And suddenly, bam! Everything's different. Everything's hard. Everything's tough. But this episode in Tommy's life can illustrate something about faith. That faith can actually make you stronger. Faith climbs through adversity. And you become stronger for it. Your faith becomes stronger for it. You know that passage from Romans 5 that talks about the inside work that God does? That He does this peace thing in us? Well, that scripture continues and shows us how God does the outside thing for us in adversity. But wait, there's more, Paul says. We continue to shout our praise. Even when we're hemmed in with, what are troubles? Adversities. Because we know how adversities can develop a passionate patience in us. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel, I love this, of virtue, which is excellence. We desire more excellence, keeping us alert for whatever our God is going to do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Here's the thing. Faith climbs through adversity, and it doesn't make you feel shortchanged. So you don't go into this spiral of self-pity. You don't get all discouraged. You don't start blaming other people. No. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Hey, let me ask you. What's your adversity right now in your life? What's pressing on you? What's trying to discourage you and wanting you to just give up on this faith thing and just walk away from it? This movie, but the scriptures more importantly, say when you face adversity, although it's hard, press on. Press on with faith and believe that God is at work in this, bringing out some kind of beautiful patience, enduring excellence, that he's shaping you and forging something new and better in you. One more thing. that Tommy Caldwell faced that actually led Tommy Caldwell to look at the Dawn Wall.
He's Mr. El Cap,
the best big wall climber ever.
And Beth was with him all the time, climbing all of these routes together.
We just poured our hearts into climbing and supporting each other on these goals.
It was quite a team.
They were known as the first couple of climbing. It was one word, Beth and Tommy.
We get married. We ended up buying property like 20 minutes from El Capitan and building a house there. I'm just gonna live in Yosemite and raise our kids there and keep climbing.
I was good friends with them both, and we were next door neighbors. They seemed so happy.
I'm like, wow, this life that I never even saw coming in the first place is starting to just magically appear. Things are going seemingly really well, at least from my mind. But I'm noticing over time, little cracks started to form. First inklings of almost like hostility towards me. There was all this weird tension. And I was just like, well, you know, we've been together for 8 years now. If marriages go through troubling times, we'll get through this and just keep climbing.
I'm done. And at some point, the climbing we had wasn't enough glue to hold it together anymore.
In Kyrgyzstan, Beth was extremely traumatized by those 6 days, and Tommy was the person who saved them. And so from that, I think a sort of dependency probably developed that isn't necessarily the same thing as true love.
Eventually, she started feeling something for somebody else, and I don't know how to summarize this. This is kind of a hard thing to talk about, but that relationship with her and this other man just solidified in a way that she couldn't walk away from that anymore, and she wanted that more than she wanted me. Once the divorce fully happened, I was just crushed.
I drove to the rim of Yosemite Valley and was looking across at El Capitan.
It felt like El Cap was all I had. Early in the morning, there's this one panel of the wall that illuminates first. And that's why it's called the Dawn Wall. The last unclimbed, big swath of stone. I had looked at it a little bit before and knew that it was way too hard, like I'd never be able to do it. But I was just hurting so bad that I had to figure out a distraction in life. Like, I couldn't just sit there and, like, feel the pain. I decided to go up there alone and beat myself up on the wall. It was just a way to cope.
What do you do? What do you do when your heart is broken in life? What do you do when love turns into pain? Tommy turned to his mountain. He turned to El Cap. And he said, I just threw myself against it in order to somehow distract myself in order to cope with the pain, the broken heart. You ever been there? You know, if you have, and you feel so empty and broken and hurt, sometimes people will throw themselves into their work, throw themselves into another relationship, throw themselves into a sport or a hobby, throw themselves into a bottle or a bottle of pills. El Cap is beautiful. It's also challenging. But it's no substitute for the God who created El Capitan and the Dawn Wall. I would just suggest that in your brokenness, Don't substitute the created order for the creator. But when life leaves you broken, faith will point you to the one that you can throw yourself against. You can throw yourself upon God. You can be angry with God and throw yourself against God. He's big enough. The psalmist says, I'm desperate, Lord. I throw myself upon you, for you alone are my God. My life, my every moment, my destiny, I put it in your hands. For you're my high fortress where I'm kept safe. You are to me a stronghold of salvation. When you get me out of this peril, it will bring glory to your name. As you guide me forth, I'll be kept safe from the hidden snares of the enemy, the secret traps that lie before me. For you have become what? God, you have become my El Capitan, my rock of strength. What happens to a person when instead of throwing themselves against all these created things, they throw themselves against the Creator? Well, it's something similar to what happened to Tommy.
Anything that you would like to say about El Cap?
I'm totally falling in love with a piece of rock. It's been a big centerpiece of my life, and I just feel so thankful every day.
He loves El Cap. And that's okay. God made it is beautiful. I could say that too. I love the created order, but not as a substitute for God. And what I'm suggesting to you, and maybe this is now your time to be brokenhearted in life. I believe that if you throw yourself against your Creator who loves you in Christ, I believe you're going to fall in love with Him more and more and more. I love this movie because it shows what faith does as it climbs. It moves through the past of guilt. It deals with things that just come upon us and happen in a minute and leave us kind of just thrown back. But boy, does it deal with broken hearts. And I don't know if you can get through life without having a broken heart. Faith climbs, becomes muscular, stretches, builds a life. And as we climb in faith, God starts to change us. You know, there's a term theologians use. Aaron uses it on me all the time. Imago Dei. It means the image of God. We were created in the image of God, but we lost it. But now, in Christ, God is recreating that image in Jesus Christ. We're going to look like Jesus Christ more and more in our person, our character, our life. But this doesn't happen like that. It will when we go to heaven. But right now, it happens in the climb of faith. And what you find is the same thing happened to Tommy Caldwell. This thing that he wanted to do, he wanted to be the one that got up there first. All of a sudden, Tommy finds out that that's not the real thing. Let me take you through this as quickly as I can.
The hardest individual part of this 3,000-foot puzzle is the traverse. The bottom section of the route follows a vague series of cracks and corners in the rock. But after 1,000 feet, those cracks and corners dead end. 300 feet to the left, there's another series of features that angles up to the top. The trick is, how do you traverse the 300-foot blank section right in the middle of the wall?
There's this band of rock that's a slightly different color and texture.
Everything above and below it is impossible to free climb. But the composition of that band is such that it has a few holes on it.
Over the last 6 years, we spent over 100 days trying to get across the traverse.
Thousands of tries on that single pitch.
And never done it. Now we have to do it for the very first time.
It's like Tommy's getting ready.
In the moment, on the push.
Go get it.
It's really unnerving. You're just waiting to slip off at any moment.
Kind of funny, like just 3,000-foot wall, and it's coming down to millimeters of skin contact on your fingertips. It becomes such a zoomed-in world.
There's one way to get across, and it's made up of all these little sequences that have to be done perfectly You miss a hold, it's impossible.
Yeah, dude.
You grab it wrong, it's impossible. We're trading attempts. Tommy ties in and just flips that switch.
All right, go get it, Tommy.
Can you remember pitch 15? Will you remember pitch 15? 300 feet traverse. That's a football field. We're in football season. Nothing to climb on but little nubs. Everybody in life has a pitch 15. You have it, I have it, and in one way we have it together. Because of my sin, I cannot traverse pitch 15. I'm going to die. That's everybody's pitch 15. Now, we have a lot of other kinds that we could talk about that are smaller pitch 15s, but we all have that pitch 15. So I'm going to skip two, because guess who makes it?
Duh.
Tommy Caldwell. He makes it across. But what happens is Kevin Jurgensen can't. Repeatedly, he tries and tries and tries. So let me skip this one. Tommy makes it. Way to go, Tommy.
Everything was going smoothly until Jurgensen couldn't grasp pitch 15.
Stopped by the sheer difficulty of the
climb. As the razor-sharp handhold tore the skin off his fingertips.
So everyone's tuning in the middle of guys living on the side of the wall.
And he can't do it. So.
But there's no guarantee that Kevin's ever going to make it.
I mean, I thought that Kevin was maybe not going to make it. And I was hoping that since this had been a dream of Tommy's a lot longer than it had been a dream of Kevin's, that Tommy would find a way to complete this climb.
As Tommy's friend, selfishly, I'm thinking to myself, like, Kevin, dude, time to throw in the towel and support Tommy.
Just makes sense. This has been his dream. And he's already past pitch 15. He's on his way to the summit. And so, because repeatedly Kevin can't do it, Tommy starts climbing toward the summit. And he gets to a place called Wino Peak. And I want you to hear what's happening to Tommy. It's changed his whole outlook on why he's doing this.
I can't believe I'm here right now. I know it's not over yet, but that's like big. I'm at Wino Tower.
What are you feeling?
I want Kevin to experience this too, for sure. It was this huge victory, but it was totally trumped by the fact that Kevin wasn't going to do it with me. Suddenly I just felt alone. I think Kevin probably did too. What a crazy experience this has been. Kind of crashed down on me that going to the top without Kevin was going to be devastating. Gotta get KJ up here now. So I decided in that moment we're going to get to the top together.
Will you do
everything I can to help him? Yeah. Gotta go into full on support mode.
Can you just catch that phrase? I'm going to go into full on support mode. Watch
this. You know, somebody less gracious than Tommy Caldwell might have said, I got to go on without you.
But he was committed to Kevin. We're doing this together. And he wouldn't have been Tommy if he'd done it any other way.
Just look at Dad's face. He's so proud of his son who went back instead of the summit to ensure that his buddy could make it. Who am I thinking about right now? Jesus. Jesus did the traverse. He took our sin upon us. He went over to the other side. He rose from the dead. I'm going back to the... No. No. he wouldn't have been Jesus if he didn't come back for us. And what that means in terms of faith is that Jesus is not going to give up on you or me when we get stuck. And we do. We get stuck because of guilt. We get stuck because of adversities. We get stuck because our hearts are broken. But he's not going to leave us. He's going to ensure that we make it through. And at the top, of course, there's a great celebration as those guys toast one another. Now, of course,
moment that was the celebration. He describes as bittersweet. This whole experience that drove him for so long was over.
What were the last words? It was over. Last thought, and you know what the thought is. We are climbing, and everybody else is climbing, but people of faith are climbing for a different reason. That American climber was asked, why are you trying to climb Mount Everest? And the answer was, because it's there. That's imago Dei. We're made in the image of God. Squirrels don't want to climb Mount Everest. Human beings say, because it's there, I got to conquer it. We have that conquering spirit. But we've lost touch with God as a humanity. And so we try to conquer everything in life. And you know what we find at the end? It's bittersweet because it is over. But you and I in faith, we're climbing for a different reason in life. And our whole life becomes this centerpiece of reaching upward for that call that Jesus Christ has given to us and has filled us with His love and His vision and His reason for living. It's that imperishable wreath that we pursue. And it will never be over. Look at the middle verse. It says, but we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. For that reason, I don't just run for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. Why do you do what you do? Why are you climbing this mountain, Tommy? I hope that something else dawns on this young man who I came to really like. He's so authentic. He's so real. And maybe it's already happened that he has the dawn of Jesus Christ now in his life. But this is why we run. This is why we climb. Because there's a reason to our existence. There's a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. There is somebody who is there telling us to go on through adversity. And when our heart is broken, we can just throw ourselves against him in our anger or our tears. Faith keeps climbing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 5 minutes is all I ask extra. Please, girls. Because what I'd like you to do now is just think about your life as this piece is played. Think about your life in the context of that movie, but all the more important, the scriptures that we heard today.